Your brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. A great reversal is coming. Soon it will no longer be the celebrities, sports stars, or computer programmers being paid the millions. It will be the teachers, the preachers, the cashiers. Those receiving the minimum wage will receive the more, and those receiving the more will receive the minimum wage. Those who think that they are in control now will find that they are not. What if you were to wake up tomorrow morning and have an angel of the Lord tell you that, and then tell you that you need to go and proclaim that to all of your friends and to all the people of this nation? That's what happened to Ezekiel. Not the thing about the celebrities and teachers. I use that to get your attention. But he did find from the Lord, or he did hear from the Lord, that a great change was coming. Everything was going to change. I bring low the high tree, and I make high the low tree. Dry up the green tree, and make the dry tree flourish. These are the words at the end of our text for this morning from Ezekiel, from our Old Testament text. And these were the words that the Lord had him speak. The changes were coming. Ezekiel had been called to proclaim to the Jews already in Babylon in the captivity that even the southern kingdom, the kingdom with the temple, would also fall to the Babylonians. That is, the entire nation of Israel would go into the Babylonian captivity as the Lord had decreed. The great eagle Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came to Lebanon and took the top of the cedar. Another great eagle would be relied upon, that of Egypt, but it would not succeed. Even Egypt would fall to Babylon, and all the people of Israel would go into the captivity. But the Lord promised them a deliverance. And that is where our Old Testament text comes into play for this morning. The salvation found in our text is found in our Old Testament text. Thus says the Lord God, I will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. In these opening words, the Lord God told his people currently in captivity that he himself would deliver them out of their captivity, out of their bondage, using a chosen instrument. From the words of Isaiah, we find that that chosen instrument was going to be Cyrus, another person who received the title of the Lord's anointed. Not the anointed, but an anointed of the Lord. This is a key focus for us to understand our text for this morning and for our place today. Without God's coming to us, we are just as much in bondage to sin as the Israelites were in bondage to captivity under Babylon. The people of Israel had sinned against the Lord, and to such an extent that he finally gave them over to be taken captive. It had been of their own doing. They had been the ones to sin, not the Lord. And so it is with us. It is not the fault of the Lord. We are the sinners. You are the ones committing the sins that have gotten yourselves into captivity. Yes, like the Israelites who did nothing to deserve their release, the Lord was also preparing a means of salvation for all of us, a means that none of us has deserved. In society today, there are many false beliefs out there, and one of the most difficult is this notion that we somehow contribute to our salvation. Yet nothing that you or I do is worthy of salvation. And in fact, if we try to contribute to our salvation, the Lord sees our works as nothing but dirty rags. Because you see, if you try to contribute to your salvation, then Paul says that you must then fulfill the entire law. And no matter how good your good works may be, if you're trying to fulfill the entire law, by comparison, your works are nothing but dirty rags. This is why the Lord said, I myself will do it. He would do it, and he needed no one's help in doing it, whether releasing the Israelites from their bondage to captivity in Babylon or us from our bondage to captivity in sin. So how is the Lord God going to use the sprig toward your salvation? How did he use it to free the Israelites? Well, we continue through our text to find the answers. On the mountain height of Israel, I will plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it will dwell every kind of bird. In the shade of its branches, birds of every sort will nest. In these verses, the Lord makes a transition. In the last few verses, he was talking about a prophecy that would have a twofold meaning. The delivery of Israel and also the delivery of those through the Messiah, the coming one. But here the Lord is talking about things that could have only occurred through the Messiah. You see, following their release from Babylon, in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, we hear that the Israelites did indeed return to Jerusalem. They rebuilt the city. They rebuilt the temple. But then they decided they were going to purify their nation. That is, they were no longer going to intermarry with any other nation. They wanted it to be Jews and Jews only. And that's how it was from the end of Ezra and Nehemiah to the Gospels, when Jesus comes. So you see, these words of birds of every sort could not possibly happen in that time frame. The Jews were putting themselves into isolation. They were isolating themselves. But God said that birds of every sort would come to those branches. So it must have been then a prophecy of the Messiah to come, Jesus the Christ. That is what God meant by under it will dwell every kind of bird. Now, it is good to note in these verses that, as before, the birds don't do anything to receive that shade. They simply receive it. That shade is, of course, the salvation earned through the sprig planted on the mountain height of Israel, Jesus, the Son of God. But again, it is not the work of any human being which earned that forgiveness, that shade. It was totally a gift, which we receive through the Holy Spirit given to us by God's Word. In our adult Bible class materials, it said it this way: entry into the kingdom of this noble cedar is impossible for people who are full of themselves, who approach in the pride of their goodness and accomplishments. It requires people to come in humble repentance and faith that only God's Spirit can engender, and it assures their acceptance on that basis. Again, if we try to come with our works, they're nothing but dirty rags. But through God's Spirit, the Spirit given to you at your baptism, working faith in you, He will bring it to completion. And you can be assured of your salvation in Jesus, that sprig that the Lord replanted on the mountain Zion for your good. That had always been Martin Luther's question in his early years, though. The question of assurance. How do I know? How can I know that I am in God's favor? How may I know that my sins are covered? And if you're struggling with the same question, look at the end of our text. I bring low the high tree, and I make high the low tree, dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord, I have spoken, and I will do it. There's that reversal again, the one that Ezekiel had been called to proclaim. Again, not the one with the celebrities and the cashiers. The great reversal of the high and the low tree, the dry tree and the flourishing tree. But as with the other verses, he speaks of it in a riddle. What does that mean, a high tree and a low tree? What can he mean by a dry tree and a flourishing tree? What he is speaking about is the work of the coming Messiah, Jesus. And what the theologians call the great exchange, Jesus lived a perfectly righteous life. But he gave it to you. Jesus, the Son of God, the high, gave it to you, the low. And so you, the low, are made high in the eyes of God. When God looks at you in Christ Jesus, in the faith that he has given to you through his Spirit, he sees not your works, but the works of Christ. And so he does not see your low works, he sees the high works of his Son, Jesus Christ, and he accepts you as his child. That is how you know that you have the assurance that your sins are forgiven. It is blessed to note here that our God is speaking of giving us, you and me, the righteousness of his Son in turn for your sins and sinfulness. He would bring low his Son, the high tree, and make you, the low tree, high with the work of his Son for free. By Jesus' death on the cross of Calvary, Jesus earned forgiveness of sins for all of humanity, including you. And this forgiveness to you is free. It is by grace through faith, and even that faith is worked in you through the Holy Spirit, which you had to do nothing to deserve. God gave you the Holy Spirit through your hearing the word, through your being baptized. You didn't have to do anything to receive it. God gave it to you for free. That is how you have the assurance of the forgiveness of sins and the life everlasting. That is the comfort which Martin Luther found and that you may now share in. That this forgiveness is free by grace through faith, which is the work of God. When Ezekiel was writing this text, he was inspired by the Messiah to write, "I am the Lord, I have spoken, and I will do it." Today, our Savior has come, and he has done it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.